Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
CinemaSins has a fan club. It's called the Sin Club, and members get all sorts of things like early episodes, bonus videos, merch discounts, and even monthly bonus podcasts. Membership starts at $3 a month, and you can sign up now at patreon.com/CinemaSins.
This is a weird, I don't know what made me think of this. This is a weird comparison, but like something like Grease, where like, you know, I don't think Danny's done anything at the end of that movie to deserve Sandy. I don't think he's done a damn thing. But Right. Do I like that Danny and Sandy end up together? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
Today, we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod.
On Free Guy, the movie that made about $28, $29 million domestically.
Yeah. If they're not happy about it, they're spinning it like they are. I think the fact that although I know a lot of people are saying this, I do have something. I'm curious your thoughts on this, but people are talking about how it's not an IP. It's an original idea. So it's not an IP. It's not based on anything prior. So I think that's why people are saying, like Disney hasn't done anything like this in however long, you know, with their big releases. But even though it's not IP, it's kind of like Jumanji Jumanji was based on a book, but it's kind of like, it still feels like it's loosely based on things, even if it's not directly based on things.
I'll tell you what, this is not a spoiler. So
yeah,
the movies that went through my head during this movie.
Yeah.
The Truman Show.
Yes.
Inception,
oh, yes.
Inception, yes. Matrix, They Live. And there was one other that went through my head. There's one spot in this movie where it is like to a T, They Live.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because like I think Chris is going to be thinking the same thing I am. So
yeah, I mean, I thought they were about to go into a full blown parody. That's how
that would have been amazing.
Oh, it would have been fantastic if they had done it. But yeah, there were a million. Ready Player One was another one that came to my head. That's what I think you may be referring to, because. Mm-hmm. The movie is original. Yes, it's not based on existing IP, but it's got a lot of other movies in it, and so it feels familiar. I was pretty adamant. Well, I don't know what you want to call it. That the trailers for this movie made it not look like something that was probably not going to be good, but I was very, very interested in watching it. Ryan Reynolds is an appealing actor. I've always liked him. I mean, even though he has gotten into areas where it's like, is this his only gear? Is this because he started, everybody first really knew him from Van Wilder. They may have seen, you know,
two guys and a girl in a pizza place. Or Nickelodeon's soap opera, 15.
Yeah. Yes, 15, indeed. They may have seen that first, but Van Wilder was where people really first started to notice Ryan Reynolds. And it felt like every movie that came out after that was a variation on Van Wilder. Even Deadpool ends up being kind of like Van Wilder in the Marvel universe almost, because it's just the way he is.
It's very likable shtick, but he's definitely got shtick. Like there's a Ryan Reynolds performance, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it all depends on how he's used. Cause sometimes it can be a little grating, Hobbs and Shaw, where he's a supporting character is a great example of where it can just fall flat on its face and not work at all. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wasn't familiar with Jodie Comer. I know that Killing Eve is a big deal. Yeah. I've never seen the series. I think I do actually remember her in the Star Wars.
She was Rey's mother, right?
Yeah, Rey's mother. Yeah. But have you seen Killing Eve?
I watched the first season. I really enjoyed it. I started watching the second season and I just lost interest. It wasn't working for me anymore. But but that she's fantastic in it though. I mean, like I knew, like I could tell, like, you know, from the first episode, you're just like, who the fuck is this? Like, because I mean, she just comes out like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's a fun character and a really fun performance. So, and it, you know, I'm glad she's gonna. Hopefully she's even more well known now. So
yeah, this feels like, I mean, it seems like every, like, I don't know. It seems like every 6 months I have this new actress to fall in love mm-hmm. with, where it's like nobody knows about Anya Taylor-Joy like I do, man. Anya Taylor-Joy is the best. And then like Florence Pugh shows up and you're like, oh man, Florence Pugh is the best, man. Nobody is coming. And now we have Jodie Comer in the mix.
And I thought it was funny too, because I guess just because of, I don't know, I had the impression that like before Killing Eve, she had probably done a bunch of stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just kind of mm-hmm. one of those things, because she felt like such a seasoned actor. So I remember mm-hmm. thinking when I was watching this, because I never like really looked her up or anything. And I was watching this and going, like, when she was like, you know, flirting with Joe Keery, not that I cared, but I was just like, oh, he's got to be a decent amount younger. He's actually older than her, which I found out like a year. But
yeah.
I was surprised to see how young she was. Not that I thought she looked old or anything, but I just, like I said, I just felt like she had been around longer than she actually had. So
I guess it's no surprise. I mean, outside of David Harbour, Joe Keery has probably had the best career out of the, well, maybe Millie Bobby Brown is Millie Bobby Brown. I think will at some point.
Yes.
But outside of David Harbour, I think Joe Keery has probably had the best career.
Yeah. He's doing well
off of Strange Things. We've seen other, who's the other guy?
Finn Wolfhard's been in a bunch of stuff.
Finn Wolfhard is another one. So, but Joe Keery seems like the guy that might like super last after this. I'm not sure about Finn Wolfhard. Maybe he will. Sometimes it's hard to transition from the child actor to the adult actor. And the same is going to, we're going to have the same issue. Well, not issue. We're going to have the same deal with Millie Bobby Brown too. Although I think Millie Bobby Brown may end up having a big, huge career. But anyway, enough about Stranger Things.
enough about the new Ghostbusters movie. I mean, Stranger
Things.
That's
right. Yeah, exactly. And It and Enola Holmes
and Boys with Bikes. I'm sure that's a thing.
Yeah, exactly. Free Guy is it's about, you know, the non-player characters in games like Grand Theft Auto and stuff like that. And what if those people had a life that we didn't know about, basically what it comes mm-hmm. to. But and I like that premise. I like that a lot. And so I was already halfway liking this movie before it even started. It just had to do the bare minimum to make it a winner for me. And I think that's what this has done. Actually.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that's supposed to be funny lands pretty mm-hmm. well. There's some good story elements to this. I think a lot of the things that they build throughout this movie pay off. Another fun thing about this is a lot of the background action going on during, like when people are just talking and stuff, you see all sorts of like weird, like video game glitch type stuff.
Yeah.
And just, you know, there's a nice little world building thing, I believe. Like there's a scene, I think it's when he's talking to Jodie Comer for the first time, you see this guy in the background, like running into a building and just keeps running into it over mm-hmm. and over and over again. And then there's another scene where they're going through the city and you see a guy jumping on a flagstaff type thing, jumping up and down on that. So it's like cool little things like that, like real video game type stuff.
There's a lot of depth to it. You know, I've had to recently watch the first couple Night at the Museum movies because we've done CinemaSin stuff on mm-hmm. them in the last like year. And the reason I bring that up is Sean Levy obviously directed those, and Sean Levy directed this. Mm-hmm. And the thing about those, watching those, I just, it's like there's so much cool potential there, but the whole world just feels very flat. Like they just don't, they're just going for obvious jokes and they're not really doing a whole lot with it.
Right.
And it's like 180 with this, because I mean, this is like a fully realized world. Now, granted, I get it's a different screenplay writer, things like that could factor in. It might not all be Levy, but as far as the Sean Levy film goes, I was very impressed. I didn't know he directed it till it was over. And was surprised to learn that he had directed it, but not that he's terrible, but I don't know. I've never had this much fun, I don't think, with one of his movies. Maybe Real Steel.
Yeah, he's had this. I don't know. It's a weird career because I think his first big feature was Big Fat Liar, and then he did Just Married, which wasn't very good. Cheaper by the Dozen was a hit, I think, but I didn't like it at all.
It was.
The Pink Panther was a decent hit with Steve Martin, and then
I refused to watch that.
I saw it, but I can't remember anything about it. Night at the Museum, he did all the Night at the Museum.
Yeah, I believe
he did.
So, yes.
Date Night. He did Real Steel, which was like you said, that was a really enjoyable movie. I was surprised how.
Yeah,
much
I think that's probably my favorite movie of his before this. I think this probably is a little better than Real Steel, but yeah, no, very enjoyable.
And then he did The Internship, which wasn't.
I've never seen that. Yeah, Date Night's fun though too. I forgot he did Date Night. That's a little better. But like you were saying, I think more than anything, I just really love this world. It's weird. I really, really enjoyed this movie. Like, absolutely, like 100%. I had such a good time. Mm-hmm. I feel like my grade's going to be a little lower, though, than what we talk about, like, would expect. Because I don't think it gets, like, into A territory. Not for me. Mm-hmm. I think the overall storyline maybe isn't as fully realized as I would like. I think there's definitely some moments where they kind of cut through stuff just to kind of, you know, get to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny. Like, it's just so funny. Even stuff that would probably normally annoy me, like Lil Rel Howery, you know, who I did not recognize, by the way, at all.
Yeah, he didn't have his glasses on, man. I think that's what it was. He's all that, you know.
Because I kept thinking, like, I know this voice, but who is this, you know?
Yeah.
But even him, like, you know, yelling and stuff like that, sometimes that might get grating. But for some reason, just like when he would show up, it was so funny. And then you have these fun cameos. Ryan Reynolds is really good. Jodie Comer obviously is really good. We haven't even talked about Taika Waititi.
Yeah, yeah.
Who like has his own language in this movie? Like I wonder how much of that was scripted and how much that was just.
Oh
him.
My god! It feels so much like it was him.
Just saying the weirdest stuff, you know, like Dudekins or I can't even remember exactly what he said, but he would just say the craziest stuff. Mm-hmm. And Joe Keery's good, and it's just a really fun movie. I don't know that I have necessarily that much negative to say about it, but it's just a really fun time.
I was thinking about this before we started talking. Was like the movie has a low ceiling. Doesn't really feel like it has a chance to hit greatness in any way. But I think it hits the ceiling that it has, that's fair. It sets up. But it doesn't really have that chance of being like, maybe it does somewhere in here. Maybe there's this really great movie.
I guess maybe this will be more spoilers. I think once you find out like what he is, I think that opens some doors that they choose not to deal with. I guess like they still want it to be like a pretty baseline, you know, family adventure comedy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, I don't know, maybe that's getting too like nitpicky, but I don't know. It is funny. And like, I really not any joke didn't land for me. I mean, everything was at least amusing, but I just never quite got into that. Like, this is like epic. You know,
something like that,
but it's really good.
That's what I'm saying though. Like I don't think it, first off, it doesn't aspire to be, but I don't think it has the story elements to be that kind of, like I said, low ceiling it shouldn't be hard for it to hit that. And it does, or to get close to that. And it, I think it very well hits it.
And
so
I think,
it's,
I think it's interesting too, because I think it's a really likable, like the characters are really likable and stuff, but I still don't know, like there's some things they do, like with the Joe Keery and Jodie Comer friendship / relationship, kind of the way they take that. I mean, that doesn't really feel earned.
No, no.
But it's fine. It doesn't really bug me, but I think there's just enough little things like that that just bring it down just a tad. But I know, I think you've nailed it. I think it's kind of one of those things like, you know, a lot of people say it's good for what it is. I think this is great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it hits exactly where it wants to hit. I don't think it's trying to go any higher. And I think it actually hits, like you said, hits that ceiling. I think that's a perfect way to describe this movie. Nothing wrong with that.
So, yeah, I'm giving this a B plus.
Same. And, I'm giving it a B plus as well.
And in this area, that's like being an A, since it's like we said, it's got low expectations. So,
and also just like such a great example of what one of these summer blockbusters can be, like, mm-hmm. You look back and watch like something like, I don't know, like 90s summer blockbusters or even 80s. And you're just like, there's something missing today. Right. But this mm-hmm. feels right at home with stuff like that. Like this, I mean, obviously technology wise, some of this wouldn't make sense in the 90s. But I'm just saying, if this, you know, this is the type of movie that would have played well, like in 96, 97, you know, when we're getting these huge, really good, you know, summer movies like Mission Impossible and Independence Day and all these fun type things. I'm not saying Independence Day is great, but Independence Day is another example of it hits where it wants to hit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah. So.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking of a 90s kind of blockbuster while watching this, and I can't really explain why. Really, it's not like it's inherently a 90s kind of movie,
mm-hmm.
But it just kind of felt like that. It took me back a little bit. It took me back to a time where I would go into a movie that didn't have a 2 on the end of it, and and this is kind of cool. I kind of like this, you know, and you go out and you know, you're just in a good mood for the rest of the day because you just saw something like, that was fun.
Yeah. And the audience enjoyed it. Like it's a fun, you know, it's a fun audience movie. If you're comfortable, you know, going to see this with an audience. I'm also not much of a, I'm not a gamer, so I might be speaking out of my ass. I felt like though this was probably, I mean, as accurate as it can be. Like I thought this treated like the gamer community in a way that, like, I felt like it got it more correct than most movies do.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong though.
And I'm not a hardcore gamer, but I've played Grand Theft Auto a lot and games of that nature. And it is kind of funny to think of these characters who honestly don't have any kind of agency whatsoever. You're running over people, you're stealing their cars, there's like a constant, you know, there's constantly that's what's so funny about this is they take all of this as just normal life and don't even think about what they're going to do or what they hope and dream to do a week from now or anything. They wake up each day just like Groundhog Day, which is another movie that you think of when you watch
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up each day with only the knowledge of what you have been given, basically. They keep resetting over and over and over again. It's kind of like if Groundhog Day were to focus on, you know, the lady who's working the dining room in Groundhog Day or whatever, you know, it's kind of like that.
That's a good point. Yeah, for sure.
Let's get on into spoilers for this.
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
He's Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
I'm reading the books.
So I don't know how much there is to spoil, really. I mean, this is really about, the movie is about, you know, this game called Free City that is a massive online game that people love to play, and it's the hottest shit. But the developer of this game, Taika Waititi is the head of this company that's getting his programmers to do this game, has allegedly stolen it from Joe Keery and from Jodie Comer.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be a development team and they went for the big bucks and sold it to this guy. And then this, and I think as long as they didn't use, he didn't use the existing code, he was okay. But he found a way, Taika Waititi found a way to make this game so that it didn't look like they used the original.
Yeah,
code.
Yeah. He bought their game. He shelved it, and then he created a different game and used their code, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's what the sort of the plot, it's the sort of the thing that we're supposed to worry about during mm-hmm. this is that he's stolen this and he's going to make a part two. Meanwhile, this character named Guy is an AI that is actually becoming fully aware. And this is something that Kiri and Comer put into the game, an AI that could possibly learn in some way. Like mm-hmm. I don't think they thought it would work to this point, where he was so self-aware that he knew what was going on. But, it's an interesting wrinkle, I think. Guy is just doing his normal thing, and then he runs into Jodie Comer, and suddenly things start changing because he runs into her. And that's because we find out later Kiri put in this part of into Guy, this somebody who wanted to fall in love, and he had aspired to marry this one girl, and Kiri put all of Comer's qualities mm-hmm. into that. So of course he falls in love with her right away, which I like that idea of an AI getting sort of inspired by something mm-hmm. that happened in the real world, and then he starts learning from that or changing his patterns based on that. It's not yeah. just some magic thing that happens. A lot of these movies that try to do the Groundhog Day thing or whatever, or you know, where there's some sort of uncertain supernatural force going on, there's not any reason for it. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, I just happen to be in this situation now. This one actually even though it's completely science fiction fantasy type stuff, mm-hmm. feels real, feels like something that could happen.
No, I agree. And you made the Truman Show comparison. I thought about that a lot at the beginning, even like his catchphrases and stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
Don't have a good day, have a great day. You know,
yeah, yep.
You have to think like if this movie was made in 96 or whatever, you know, Jim Carrey's, there's a good chance he's playing this role. Cause I mean, I think there's definitely some similarities there between him and Reynolds. He's a little more animated than Reynolds mm-hmm. is, but you know, if you cross like Reynolds and like Robin Williams, you probably get Jim Carrey. But I was thinking about that, but it didn't really bother me because I think, you know, Zach Penn, who wrote this, I don't know where all these elements came from, but whatever they were doing, all these elements together worked really well. And I think Ryan Reynolds, this might be my favorite performance of his. I mean, I just saw it, so I don't like to do the recency bias. Mm-hmm. But I'm not as big of a Deadpool fan as most people are. So, and I think mm-hmm. that's probably the one people would go to. Mm-hmm. I liked this better.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's very different. Like you can't compare those two movies. Like Deadpool's a horror R-rated, action thing. And this is not like, I mean, there is violence and stuff in this, but it's not on that level, obviously.
No,
it's a very, very different movie. But he's so funny in this. And yeah, like you're saying, like it felt like, I'm sure if we sat there and like if we send this and we broke it all down, there probably are going to be some things we're going to come away with. But at least when you're watching it in the moment, it totally feels like, yeah, this could totally happen. Like, you know, mm-hmm. they make the world seem real, even, you know, and that's what you need to do.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I like the and this is the They Live part where he starts first sort of learning, where he first starts after he's run. And I should probably start naming these characters more than the actors, but Yeah. When he first, well, Millie they, is the, it, when he first, when Guy runs into Millie at the, and then he goes to the bank the next day, he's like, you know, if only we had these glasses that all these heroes, quote unquote, they call these people who do horrible things in within the video game as heroes because they're and he's like, if we could just wear those glasses, we could be just like them. And at the beginning of this, he takes the sunglasses off of somebody who's robbing the bank, which is something that happens in every scenario when he's working at the bank. Yeah. Every day that happens, someone comes in here and you know, and this is the Ready Player One part where they switch over and show the person. There's like this teenage girl with her friend playing the game, and they're like, and she's like, smoke that motherfucker. I mean, of course they cut her off before she says it. But he puts the glasses on and he suddenly sees that this is a video game world and there's all this opportunity everywhere. And then like, once he starts getting used to it, he tries to get his friend named Buddy, to wear them. And he's like, I don't know if I want to wear these. And then he says, come on, man, put on the glasses. And I thought for sure, again, like I said, I thought for sure they were going to do a little They Live thing. And that's definitely got to be a nod to it, at least.
Oh, it's so close. I mean, it has to be. But also, like, could he not put the glasses on? Is that what you're supposed to take from that? Like, his profile, he wasn't as fully realized. Like, he wasn't, he couldn't actually do it.
Yeah, although one thing that to answer that question, I say yes, he doesn't have the capability in his programming.
And I'm talking about Buddy in case I confused anyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the capability of that. He thinks that there's it's too taboo to do that thing. Although what the movie does pretty well is every time Guy does something like this, the other characters around him start thinking in a different way. So the very idea that he is acting differently than normal changes other characters. Mm-hmm. There's a point where he punches the robber. This is during the scenes where he's trying to get level up and everything. And he punches that robber who has the character named Bombshell next to him. And he says, you don't have to be with this guy. You should be with a guy who's better than this or whatever. And all guys are terrible anyway or whatever. And then she goes, maybe I wouldn't even have to be with a guy. And he goes, yeah, you can do that too. And then later we find out that she's written a manifesto. Yeah. Joe Keery's like, he's like, it's kind of preachy in parts, but it's pretty good. That's a great like setup. I love that whole thing.
And you find out Guy goes into, he gets coffee every day, and after he's kind of becoming self-aware, he asks for a cappuccino. But then you find out later that same thing Joe Keery's talking about, there's a barista at the coffee shop that started making cappuccinos.
Everybody interacts with, they start doing little different things. And there was one I was kind of hoping they would never address it. But there's the character who's always got his arms up because he's always the guy in the bank who's getting, you know, getting robbed or whatever. And it's like, you would see him in the background and everything, still holding his arms up and everything.
Yeah.
And they have this one scene with him where they're like, you can bring your arms down now. And he goes, it doesn't feel right. But I was kind of hoping they would never address it. Just show him constantly that'd be doing great. That. Yeah. And you just have to, you know, find it in the background and it's fun. But I love that whole setup. There were moments, a lot of people ask if we get into our sin brains when we're watching these movies. For the most part, no, but I found myself kind of doing that in this one, because there's moments in here where there's that moment where they reboot it because Taika Waititi thinks that there's if he reboots the game, he can end the guy character. Won't be. Of course, when they reboot, they find out that he can still be, for a lack of a better word, stimulated to be a real person if you give him just the right nudge, basically. So they throw Millie back in, you know, Millie goes back into the game and starts trying to jar his memory. And of course it comes back. And, but then there's a moment where he's trying to cross that bridge to get to that part where he can find the original code of the game. And I'm like, you can just reboot and have the same issue. Like you can, like once things get really dire, why don't you just reboot again?
Yeah.
You know, I know that the reboot didn't work. Like they can just go back in and get him back to normal. But if it's a dire situation, why not reboot? Instead, he goes in there and he's like taking an axe to everything and like, you know.
Yeah, because at first, yeah, because that is one thing with the movie they have to address, I guess, but they feel like they do. Because at first, you know, they're trying, Joe Keery and the co-worker, it's the guy from Pitch Perfect. I'm going to butcher his name. Utkarsh Ambudkar. I'm going to go with, his name is Mauser in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll go with Mauser. So Mauser and what was Keery's name? Keys. So you got Mauser and Keys, or they're initially, like, they go in. There's actually this pretty funny sequence where they go in as cops. And they're trying to, because they think it's a player. They at this point don't know that Guy is just NPC, right? Is that what it is? NPC.
Yeah,
So, and then it gets to where I don't think they figured it out yet, but Taika Waititi tells him to stop mess, or what's his name is, what is his name?
Antoine.
Antoine tells him to stop trying to get him out, because at that point he's making the game more popular. And then, but then they have to come up with this thing where it's like people are trying to figure, like people are questioning whether or not they should really be playing video games. Or I don't know. That seemed a little forced. And then that's when he wants to reboot the system, because he feels like it's a negative effect all of a sudden.
It's also kind of, you know, this is the same issue that Ready Player One had, where, you know, in that first game where they're trying to get the they're trying to get keys, video game keys or whatever.
Yeah,
like the, you know, the main character is the only one who's ever thought about going in reverse.
Yeah.
Where in video game world there's not just a couple of people who are obsessed with the game. There are hundreds and thousands of people who are obsessed with the game and all doing crazy stuff to try to get to a secret level or whatever.
Yeah. Especially in that world.
Yeah, and especially in that world. And in this one, it wouldn't really be any different. I think people would see Guy out in the world and they would probably follow him around and try to figure out what his true nature is throughout the whole thing. And they would find out, I think gamers would find out pretty quickly that it's not a player.
Well, and especially you've got the people, which Keys didn't actually write that program, because that's another thing they don't, because I guess if he was actually a programmer, he probably would have caught this already. So they make it where he's choosing not to be a programmer.
I think that's exactly why they made that
choice. but they never even explain it. There is that funny moment with him and Mauser, though, where Mauser's like, why aren't you working up there since you're the smart boy? And then he gives some bullshit answer that Mauser just says something like, well, that just sounds like boring and white privilege, so I'm gonna go ahead and, you know. And it's a really funny moment, but it's obviously they're just like, we're not gonna address that, like, we're just gonna even though they keep bringing it up, because Antoine offers him a job later. He's like, are you sure you don't want to become a programmer? Do we keep focusing on this? But anyways, I see what you're saying. Like, that you would think someone in that office catches that before.
There's a lot of programmers in there. I mean, there and the fact that Keery says this at least two or three times in the movie, where he's like there's one point where they kill Guy, but the number of players online doesn't change. And there are a lot of moments like that where that should change the amount of players or just anything that's in the game. And it seems like it's perpetually shrugged off. I guess if you decide what the reality is that the AI character is a fully realized being now, then you're starting to get into some weird territory that's hard to prove, and people think you're crazy. So you don't want to jump to that conclusion. But every time that it happens, you're just like, okay, well, this is something that's weird. And you think that, I mean, I guess you think that there's somebody who's good enough to hack your system to not show up in the players and everything. But I don't know. After a while, I think smart programmers would be like,
yeah,
this isn't a dude. This isn't somebody that's doing.
Yeah, that. Exactly. And it's all well, and even like Jodie Comer, there's this great, and it's a great moment, but where he kisses her in the game, and then mm-hmm. it cuts to her in her apartment, like watching it, like yeah. really confused. Cause like, there's not like yeah. a button where you can kiss somebody or whatever.
Right. Right.
And you would think, you know, and I get that. I understand why at first she doesn't want to believe Keys, because if she believes Keys, then that means she fell for an NPC and not a real yeah. person. Cause she's actually mm-hmm. falling for this character or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but it is one of those things where it's like, how are you not like, I mean, and that's also, it's also kind of irritating that they would do that to her character, because it's like she's supposed to be this badass woman, but mm-hmm. like once a guy like gives her bubblegum ice cream in a computer mm-hmm. game, yeah. she's just yeah. dumb, and you know yeah. oh, I can't think past my feelings. Right. I think the story, I think that's another reason why this just isn't an A, because I think the story just feels so secondary to mm-hmm. what you're getting out of it. I think I just enjoy. There's just so many fun moments, and it's like, there's a story that connects those moments, but like, I'm not thinking about that, I guess, while I'm watching mm-hmm. it. So
you had mentioned earlier that the movie also doesn't really earn the relationship between Keys and Millie at the
yeah.
end. I still found that affecting though.
I did too.
I found it yeah. pretty affecting, even though it didn't earn it. They needed to build more of a like, romantic tension before that to get to where they got to at mm-hmm. the end. Like, I don't, maybe you've experienced this. I don't think I've ever experienced this where it's like, I don't know if I'm in love with that person or not for years. And no. then something happens where you're like, oh, I am totally in love with that person. Movies seem to think that there's a way that you just don't acknowledge these feelings. I guess mm-hmm. that's possible. I don't know. I don't mean to speak for everybody, but
yeah,
it's not something that I'm very familiar with, that you've been secretly in love and didn't know it, and then finally something jars that loose at the end where you're like, oh yeah, totally. I mean, I've never experienced that. I know that there are people out there who have been friends for a long time and they've always looked at it on that level.
Yeah.
But then things change in their lives and then they fall in love. But not for years.
No, I just it almost feels like the movie feels like this has to happen. Like that feels more than anything like an audience poll or something. Mm-hmm. Like that feels like if we don't put them together, like I don't know that they ever had them not together, but that just almost feels like it did it a different way. And then people, well, we want them to be together. And then so mm-hmm. they throw that, because even the Keys character, he does. Now we do hear him say some of that earlier in the movie, and mm-hmm. she didn't hear him.
Right.
And then she watches that video that he had sent her, you know, and she hears the stuff you had mentioned earlier about how he created the character and what he mm-hmm. put into the character. And that's when she's like, oh, I do need to take these pants off and have sex with him now. So, yeah, it was just, I don't know. It's a weird moment. It's so quick, and then the movie just ends, and it's just kind of like, I don't know. That's the only thing about it for me. But I was totally cool with them getting together. I mean, they had good chemistry. They were, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, they're no problem on that level. I just thought it was a little forced.
Yeah. And I even bought the, I mean, it's funny. We're saying it didn't earn it, but it affected us. But like, there's a,
I think that's even possible.
Even the part where Guy at the end is telling her, I'm just a love letter to you, and that I just need to go and live my life separately and all that. Even that felt okay. Like I was like,
yeah, absolutely.
So I, you know, that it was one of those things where it's like, okay, yeah. didn't really quite stick it, but I think that's a good direction.
This is a weird, I don't know what made me think of this. This is a weird comparison, but like something like Grease, where like, you know, I don't think Danny's done anything at the end of that movie to deserve Sandy. I don't think he's mm-hmm. done a damn thing, but right. do I like that Danny and Sandy end up together? Absolutely.
yeah. Yeah. Ah, yeah. Good old 70s looking back at 50s style. That's it's just the way it was done back then, I guess.
There's a 20-year thing. Somebody was talking about this on another podcast recently. I heard, I think it was on a podcast, I can't remember, but there is like a weird 20-year thing. But I guess it's because you're older, like the people that were kids then now are like in their 30s making these movies. Because mm-hmm. now you're getting a lot more 90s stuff, you know, now You know, so it's just kind of interesting. And you know, yeah. 80s, you know, but yeah, no, 70s was all about looking back at the 50s. But anyways, whole other story.
We can talk about some cameos here. I love the Channing Tatum cameo. That's in
so
this.
Good. And like, and that was like, he's at the beginning of the movie and I was like, man, that guy looks a lot like Channing Tatum. That's weird. But then they, you know, but then he goes away. So I'm like, I'm sure it wasn't kind of like, I thought that dude in Don't Be Two was Breckin Meyer, but then he shows up later. And I also love that scene, 'cause you've got the parallel with the kid that's actually using that avatar.
You know,
and I thought that was a brilliant way to, like, you know, show that.
The Chris Evans thing is obviously great too.
Yes.
You know, when guy puts the glasses on and he decides to use a shield against his more muscular guy that's going to be in the Free City 2 and everything. And they even play the, you know, the Captain America music and all that. And then they show this cut of all these people watching. This is another Truman Show thing, by the way.
Yes, absolutely.
They keep finding people who are watching this. And then it finally gets to Chris Evans, like in a restaurant, watching it on his phone. And he's just like, oh, come on.
You're like, what the fuck?
I enjoyed that. I am sure that when I watch this again, I'll find all sorts of other Easter eggs in here. There was a moment with the kid who runs the Channing Tatum character. Mm-hmm. You can see a Deadpool poster behind him. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like little cool things like that. And I feel like there's going to be more as I watch. As I watch it again in the future. And that's the thing. I want to watch this movie in the future. A lot of times I say I'm going to watch this in the future and it's not. It's kind of got this, I'll get to it again someday, I guess.
But no, this movie is super watchable. Like,
one's going to be on the background a lot of times for me and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I feel like this is one Jeremy's going to watch and then be like, I've watched it 25 times, like a month later.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely going to do that. There's no doubt. I can mark it here. He's going to do that. He'll be on a Sincast next year and he'll be like, I've seen this movie 6 times. And every time I watch it, you know, that type.
But it is kind of, I mean, we've actually talked about it more than I thought we'd be able to, because it is kind of one of those movies where I'm just like, it was a lot of fun, but I don't, you know, and there's like, there's just like the moments we've talked about that are really funny. And there's plenty of other ones. You mentioned though, Ryan Reynolds plays that, like, it's a character that they bring in to stop Ryan Reynolds, but he's not fully developed.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that woman, the programmer. That was like before she hits enter, she's like, all right, guys, this is the moment we got fired.
we lost our jobs. Everybody remember this moment before we got fired.
He's going catchphrase.
Right. And, well, and then there's that great moment after he says catchphrase where Taika Waititi is like, he's like, we haven't come up with a good one yet. He's like, but you know what? Catchphrase is pretty banger of a catchphrase.
And then like, was that towards the end? He says something like, he's like, hysterical laughter. You know, he's like,
this movie is a lot of fun. I think everything that we said, you know, it feels like the 90s again. I don't know why, but it does.
You could not have made this movie in the 90s because people weren't playing video games like this in the 90s. It would be like futuristic, you know.
I mean, we were on the verge in the 90s of getting games like this. It was later 90s though, like in the early 2000s where these big huge worlds that you could wander around anywhere
and multiplayer. Like I would say, you know, in the 90s it started to get to where multiplayer was more popular than single player. Mm-hmm. And you know, because now it's like there are games now that aren't even available for single player, you know, and that's not something that would have ever happened you know, at that time, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, 25 years ago. So
right,
for sure.
Okay. Well, anything else to say about this?
No, I mean, man, go see it. I mean, if you're still listening to this and you haven't seen it, it's easily the best film, the best summer like blockbuster film I've seen this year, and probably in a minute. Like it's, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Considering most of the summer landscape is sort of, you know, comic book movies, which are hit or miss. A lot of sequels and the stuff that is original that does get through, there is few and far between. So something like this is kind of a fresh breath of air.
Yeah. And I'm specifically talking about, like, I know you know this, but I'm specifically talking about, like, big studio films. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. like, A24 will release a film in the summer that's better than everything sometimes. But I just mean, like, you know, these types of movies.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what did you guys think? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter, Discord, and SoundCloud. Where can people find you, Jonathan?
I'm on Twitter at SamLoomis13. There's also a link on my Twitter profile for my Letterboxd account. If you go to Letterboxd, I think if you just search my name, you'll find me. And I do a podcast every week with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes called Behind the Sins.
All right. That's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.